What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Daniel A. Nelson Podcast Show. This is the place where we play and talk about the music you love. Today, I'm excited because I have Mr. Rodney Green on the line. Rodney, say hello to my audience.
Hey, what's going on, my brother?
Oh, my goodness, Rodney, man. So good to have you. I appreciate you in advance, man, for what you have done. We met earlier this year, and we had a chance to do a show together. But I want to get started on talking about your humble beginnings. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Los Angeles. I was born and raised in, born in Compton, and we moved to South Central and stayed there till I was about, maybe age 9. And then we moved to the Inland Empire. And so I've pretty much been in the Inland Empire most of my life, but as an adult, I've moved around the country, worked for different companies in different parts of the country.
Oh, so you're a California man, huh?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's Cali, what I'm talking baby. About. Cali, baby. Oh, man. Yeah. What got you into the music business?
Wow. Well, you know, it started at a really young age. I mean, my dad, my mom sang in the church choir, so I was always at choir rehearsal.
yeah.
You know how that is. You know, you little kid, yep. Mom's up there singing, and you know, you under the seats playing around with the other kids, you know.
Right.
Singing in the choir. My dad was a musician and vocalist as well. And he used to sing different venues. I remember as a kid, you know, going to a lot of his gigs, he would sneak me in and we'd go see him play and perform. So he played the drums, congas, and was a vocalist. So my first instrument was a violin, which I started, I was in the third grade. And I played that for about, I don't know, maybe 6 months or so. And that was my first taste of, you know, real music, like, you know, with sheet music in front of me and all of that. But I had to change from playing that violin, man, because, you know, walking around town at that age with a violin case, you know, it wasn't cool at that time.
Right. I know you're right, man.
Yeah. So my dad brought he had a drum set that he played. And so he had got a new set and he let me have the old set. So I started banging around on the drums. I said, hey, yeah, I think I like this better than the violin, you know. And so, yeah, that was kind of how it started.
Man, that's cool. I was going to ask you this. You got into the music business. You said you was in the third grade. What was your first public gig you did?
I think the first public gig I did was at church.
Mm.
Growing up, the black culture and tradition, you know, you go to church and you sing
right.
The choir. And I think I was at church and was singing in the choir and was asked to do a solo, and I was like, okay, I don't know about this, you know. I mean, I can sing, you know, background, but you want me to lead this thing? So
right.
Yeah, that was my first experience. But then, you know, it's kind of a different experience, you know, when you're in church, you know, you're not really thinking about yourself. You know, I just say, hey, I'm gonna put it in God's hand. Lord, you do what you do, and
right.
Everything gonna be all right, you know. So that was my first public performance, but that was kind of a scary thing. But, you know, I think being a little scared and, you know, sort of gets the adrenaline flowing.
Right.
You know, and I think sometimes you need that adrenaline to really help you, to move you, you know, through the music or whatever performance you're trying to do.
How old were you?
At that time, I think I was like 10, 11 years old. And then after that, I think I mentioned about playing the drums, I put together a band. I think this was in junior high school. We put together a band and we would go to the other junior high schools and play in the band. So I think I was around 13, 14 at that time. And then there was another guy, how I started playing the bass. There was a friend of mine, he was a little older than I was. He played bass and was in the band. So I used to hang around with him at rehearsals. And, you know, during when they would take their breaks, I'd pick up the bass and, you know, try to pick up what he had played. And I just loved the sound and tone of the bottom end and how that just kind of carried the song. And so I actually switched from drums to bass at that point. And he let me sit in a few times with his band. So that was kind of my early beginnings with music and performing publicly.
So bass is your primary instrument right now then, right?
Yeah, bass is my primary instrument. I play a little keyboards, you know, dabble a little bit in on guitar, and play a little drums. So that's about the breadth of my... And I picked up a wind synthesizer. I was at the NAMM show, the last show, and I'm just fascinated by the saxophone. Man, that thing is just so sweet. It's just like...
Yeah.
You know, man, it's just no other tone like it. And so I picked up this wind synthesizer. So I'm going to try to tackle that baby in the next couple of years and come out with something.
You know what? There's nothing wrong with progressing and learning different instruments. You know, it kind of reminds me of what my cousin Ronnie Kaufman said. He says, you know, the more you know about your instrument and a little bit about the other instruments, you can be able to lead and guide a band, or if there's certain specific things that you want the band to play, you can actually show them.
Right.
And that's a plus.
Yes.
So yeah, that's where it is. Yeah. Now, when you were in high school, by the way, what high school did you go to?
I went to Ontario High School.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. In Ontario.
Right. Did you play in the stage band or anything like that?
I played in the marching band. Played drums in the marching band, both in junior high school and in high school as well. You know, that was in between playing sports and playing in the band, so it was kind of like a dual role depending on you know, the season.
But right,
I enjoyed playing the drum and marching and competing. We used to compete, and it's an awesome experience.
Okay. When you graduated from high school, I know you went further into the music company. And how did you start your Green Street record production? Tell us about that.
Yeah, wow. So that was really interesting because as I started writing my own music and, you know, had some recordings, which I thought were good, at least to me, at that time. I would send them out to different record companies, different record labels. And of course, I've got like a ton of letters, rejection letters from different record labels and different record companies. You know, you send in your music and of course they listen to it. And you know, you're sitting back hoping to get that one song, you know, placed with some artist or whatever. And it just didn't happen. You know, it just didn't happen. I got rejection letter after rejection letter. And, you know, of course, you know, when you're reflecting on those things and times, I went back and thought about it. I go, wow, you know, actually, when I think about it, my music, first off, in my head, you know, it sounded fantastic. But, right. You know, now fast forward, you know, I don't want to say how many years forward, but fast forward, you know, many, many years. And now listen to it, I'm like, oh, my God, what was I thinking? You know, but you learn from those things. And I never let rejection stop me from pursuing, you know, even though I wasn't the best.
Yeah.
Later. You know, it didn't stop me. And what it really did, it just motivated me more to continue on the path and just continue on. So, you know, after a while, I'm like, okay. You know, I started doing more research. And of course, during that time, there was a lot of publicity about artists not being paid, by their record company, and you know, you see those documentaries or you know, people who had, you know, well-known artists who ended up broke because the record company, you know, basically took all their money. And so, you know, it's like, hey, you know, why don't I start my own label? You know, and I think that was during the time when a lot of independent artists decided to go independent as opposed to the, you know, the label route.
You know, Rodney, it's funny that you mentioned about rejection, because I've been doing a series. I've done 3 series on dealing with rejection. And I did not include you, but since you went there, let's go there. How did you feel emotionally? I mean, how bad was the hurt?
Oh, man, you're crushed. You're basically crushed because, you know, at that time, you know, I don't think I had a realistic perception of music and the music industry. I thought, hey, you write a song, you know, you give it to a record company and boom, you're off and running, you know, but it doesn't work like that. And I think there are a lot of artists out there, you know, people who get into the music industry thinking that, wow, you know, I'm going to become a star overnight, you know. And it doesn't happen like that. You know, you talk to many artists, well-known, who's been out there and has done something, tell you that, hey, they've had many a rejection from whomever, you know, the powers to be in the music industry. But that didn't let that stop them. So it was a very emotional time. You know, like I said, I kept the letters. I still have the letters to this day from like Solar Records.
Wow.
Oh my God. Barry Gordy's. I can't even think of them all now. But
yeah,
you know, yeah. So I got the letters, and you know, it was crushing. And so I think too, there was some other organizations that where you would send your song in, you'd pay some money and they would help to place your song. You know, I did all of that stuff, you know, and a lot of them were just scams because they're preying on, you know, people's hearts and aspirations and dreams to become a, you know, a superstar artist or whatever. And so, you know, you learn. I think a lot of gone through that stage earlier in their careers, but yeah, that rejection is hard, but you know, you just got to stick with it. You got to know, you know, you got to be real with yourself and say, okay, I got rejected this time. Let's go back and take a look at what I can do better, you know, on that next submission. So it's a process, and I'm still in that process today.
Okay. So with that being said, when you look at different artists in their music, I know you're not trying to emulate them, you know, to a certain point to whereas, you know, you're actually sounding like them. But is that what you're trying to do as far as pick up different styles to try to incorporate with what you're doing as a musician?
Yeah, you know, I think I'm finally understanding what my style is. You know, I'm just enlightened as I go through this process and as I write more songs and I listen to myself and I can see something emerging, something developing where I can say, oh yeah, that's my sound, that's my lane, if you will. And
okay.
And it took a while. Like I said, it's still evolving because I'm still in that process. It seems like the more you write, the more you understand yourself, you know your limitations. You know, I'm not the best bass player in the world or keyboard player in the world, or, you know. But I hear what I hear in my head is a concept of a song that I can hear it, and now I need to get it out of my head and into, you know, some tracks here.
Yeah.
And so I do listen to other artists. I listen to other genres. You know, I break down other artists' song, you know, looking at how it was, you know, constructed. you know, as far as chord progressions. And so just still learning and understanding, you know, music, how it all falls together. And I think as I play the different instruments and how they all fit together, I think that helps to, you know, to further that process.
Okay, so I guess my question is this then. Do you write for yourself, or are you writing to please the public?
Good question. I'm gonna be transparent. So in the smooth jazz genre that, you know, that I'm currently aspiring to, you know, to be a part of, you know, you hear the songs that are out there being played on watercolors and on smooth jazz, and so you hear that and you say, okay, I gotta write something like that, you know. And so you get caught up in that. And then as I start to do that, sometimes, you know, I've gone back. Right now I'm in the process now working on my album. And I'm going back and listening to some other songs that, you know, that I've been working on. And they're probably, some of them are kind of leaning more into R&B than smooth jazz. So I don't want to put myself in a box. And I've decided when I'm done with this particular album, it's kind of getting ready to release, that I will work on not trying to satisfy, you know, any particular genre, but trying to be more true to myself. And wherever that music happens to land, that's where it lands, whether it's smooth jazz or R&B or, you know, pop or whatever. But yeah, I did get caught up in trying to, you know, write music that was commercial for smooth jazz, you know, because there's a lot of restriction in there in smooth jazz. You know, you got to have some sax in there. You got to have, you know, they don't want any kind of loops or whatever. It's got to be all live played instruments. And I for, you know, some part of me says, hey, that's true, because the art form of playing music, you know, an instrument, you know, we need to preserve that, and we need to make sure that that those talents and gifts and skills, you know, are preserved. Now, of course, we have electronic music today. There's a ton of music that's used just using electronics and doesn't even use any live instruments.
Right.
You have hits, and you have genres that, you know, they specialize in that, you know. So my point of view is, I want to hone my skills to improve my bass playing skills, keyboard skills, guitar skills, so that I can preserve that part of it. But I will also utilize whatever else I need that's going to add to the track, to give it whatever, you know, to manifest itself to that concept I have in my head.
Okay. So with that being said, Rodney, what determines a great hit for you?
A great hit. Sometimes, you know, I work on a track and for a long time, and it just doesn't seem like it's developing the way I had, you know, anticipated. And then it's really funny how I was going through songs on another and came across this song called Closer to You. And I'm like, oh my God, you know, how did I, you know, forget about this one, you know?
Yeah.
And and that's actually one that I worked on and spent less time on, because it's sometimes a song, when you're writing a song, sometimes it just flows. I mean, boom, 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 there it is, you know?
Right.
And it's like, you sit back and you go, wow, that just came together like, you know, like magic. And then there's other times, other songs that, man, I've been working on for like, you know, a year, and it just can't seem, you know, it just can't seem to manifest itself. It won't birth, you know.
Right. You know, something is missing.
Right, right.
You go back to the track and say, wait, something's missing.
Right, right.
Maybe I need to boost the drum. Uh-huh. Okay, that's not working.
Right, right.
Maybe I need to add a shaker. That's not working. Okay. Bring the guitar up. No, that's not working.
Right.
Bring the guitar back down.
Exactly.
I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
We run into those situations. But let me ask you this. Evidently, you set you already got goals that are set. How do you usually do it? Do you do like you try to set goals for the first 3 months, or I'm going to have this project done in 6 months, I'm going to rehearse for the next 5 months, or give me your regimen of how you do things.
Right. So, you know, sometimes I'm kind of erratic, you know, between working, which I just finally stopped working my day job and to really just focus on music now.
Cool. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it. You know, working and, you know, takes a lot out of your, you know, it takes a lot of time because I was traveling quite a bit, you know, for work. And so you're not having enough time for music. And then when I do have, you know, I was tired, wasn't motivated, nothing's happening. So finally I'm able to just focus on the music. And so I'm just trying to now get into a groove or a regimen, if you will, you know, as far as planning. My goals actually for this year is to release my album real close. It was scheduled for release last year. I released a single beginning of last year, which did quite well on the charts. It's number 35 on Smooth Jazz charts.
Yeah.
And so I started working on the album. Word got in the way, and of course, you know, life gets in the way. And it wasn't completed. So what I did was I released another single, No Stopping, beginning of this year. And that also did very well on the Smooth Jazz charts. And so from those two and my other previous two albums, you know, started to get a little buzz and people were like, hey, where can we come see you play? You know, we love your music, you know? And so, you know, starting out as a producer, a music producer, and now thinking about, okay, Rodney Green, the artist, somebody once told me, another producer, well-known producer, he says, Rodney, he says, you need to figure out whether you want to be a producer or an artist.
Wow.
And I thought about that. And I said, wow, he says, because it's totally different being a producer, you know, which is true, because I produce some music for other artists. And but now producing my own music and now with the thought of performing that music, it is quite different. So one of my goals for this year was perform my music live. And so that happened a couple months ago, and I thank you for being a part of the band and playing keys on that particular gig. And man, I really appreciate
the invite. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the invite. Ladies and gentlemen, I was going to say this. I met Rodney through my friend Mark Drummond. We've been knowing each other. Mark and I have been knowing each other for at least over 20 years. And Rodney Green is no joke. I know he's been modest, but he has a song called Nice and Slow. That was back in 2008. He did another CD, Meditation of My Heart, I believe.
Right.
Got real close. And then he just released No Stopping this year. And I'm telling you, the guy's really good. You can find a lot of that stuff on Amazon.com. So you want to pick that stuff up. Excellent music. Rodney, let me ask you this, and I know we're getting close to our time, but I want to ask you this. Let's talk about your practicing skills. How do you practice? Do you do it 30 minutes a day or an hour a day, or do you set certain, just give us your practice skills.
Right. So that's a good question. I'm kind of erratic. I don't have like a schedule. Well, now that I have more time, within the last month or so, I'm just now starting to develop some sort of schedule here, because when you're talking about being a producer and a musician, you know, there are so many things. You know, I could pick up the bass, I could pick up the guitar or the keyboard, or just learning how to, you know, mastering all of those skills. that is quite a bit to do, you know.
Right,
but
right.
Trying to do all of them, you know. And so lately I've been trying to rely more on other musicians as opposed to myself, for one, just to get a different perspective on how they interpret the music, you know, interpret my music, you know, as far as guitar. You mentioned Mark Drummond. Mark played guitar on my last single, No Stopping, and brother, he just laid it down. He laid it down.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So, you know, I don't aspire to get to that level of playing, because, you know, to do that, I mean, you have to really spend the time, you know, woodshedding to get there. I just want to play enough of, you know, guitar and keyboard to be able to put together a track and give it to and say, oh, I can see where you're going with this, and then he can add or she can add, you know, their own flavor to the music, you know. But as far as the regiment, yeah, I might come in one day and say, okay, I'm going to work on mixing today. You know, I want to work on trying to develop certain frequencies of sound in the track, or soundscaping, if you will. You know, and so, you know, working on that, you know, I might just pick up, play the piano for a while just to work on, you know, scales, trying out different scales, different chord progressions. The same thing with the bass, you know, just trying to hone in my craft, different techniques as far as playing the bass. You know, I'm not a chop happy, you know, bass player, although I think on No Stopping, I got a little chop happy. No, I'm a smooth guy, you know. I love smooth music, smooth grooves, you know, that you can lay back into, you know, and get the head bobbing or whatever, you know. So yeah, I mean, I do have a regimen, but it's not as as a matter of fact, today was the day that I planned to sit down and you know, just go over goals for the rest of this year. Finalize plans for this year, and for, you know, starting the plan for next year, and that all entails, you know, trying to get together a schedule where I can come in and, you know, work certain days on different things, you know, whether it's playing the bass or playing the keyboards or playing the guitar or just songwriting itself. So I don't right now don't have it down, but I'm working on that schedule. You talk to me next week, I'm like, hey man, let me check my schedule because I got it.
That's good. Yeah. Well, man, I'm not gonna lie to you, right? I really appreciate you for giving me the call and accepting me to play on the gig earlier this year, and hopefully we'll be doing some more work together in the future.
Yeah, looking forward.
And I appreciate you so much. My last question is this. Well, actually, it's a twofold question. And I know you kind of said it earlier about rejection, and how you got over it. But can you dive a little bit deeper in that? Because I know there's a lot of people in the business, and whether it be real estate or whatever business they're in, and they're being rejected. Give them a little bit of encouragement.
Okay. Yeah, like I said before, you know, rejection is going to come. Without a doubt, rejection is going to come. But you know, as an artist, performer, have to dig deep inside yourself and ask yourself, is this something that I really desire to do? And if it's something that you really desire to do and it's a passion for you, don't give up. Because, as like I mentioned before, you know, many an artist will tell you that, you know, there were times when, you know, they got rejected, but it didn't stop them. As again, they use it as a motivator. And I would say, you know, also be realistic, you know, listen sometimes to that rejection. And if there's some constructive criticism that's being provided as to why you're being rejected, you know, you need to keep an open mind. And because sometimes that rejection might be, you know, valuable information is being passed along to you. It's going to help you to improve whatever it is you're trying to pursue. So again, don't give up, persevere, happen overnight. It's a process. The only difference is sometimes the process is shorter for other people, and sometimes it's longer for other people. But again, my word to you is don't give up, because you can do it.
All right. And then the very final last question you alluded to about being true to yourself, even in your playing and what you do in the music. Give some encouraging words and why it's so important to be true to yourself and what you do as a musician.
Right. I think that's where a lot of rejection comes in, because, you know, a lot of artists, or you try to emulate other artists, and when they don't achieve that, you know, that's kind of crushing. But, you know, you have to learn how to do what you do, you know, what you do in your lane, you know, what you're good at. Capitalize off the things that you're good at. You know, it may not sound like, you know, if you're singing or whatever,
right,
you sound like you. You know, I, who was that? I think it was Lionel Richie was on one of those shows, and he said that he doesn't sound, he's not a pure vocalist. He says he's a stylist, and there's a difference. And I said, what does that mean? He's a stylist and not a vocalist. Okay, so then I started thinking about it. He went on to explain that he's not a Luther Vandross. He don't sing like Luther Vandross. He sings like Lionel Richie, okay? And so, you know, I'm learning myself, okay, to myself, I sound a certain way that in my own mind may not be pleasing, but maybe pleasing to somebody else. Or so the thing of it is, don't underestimate yourself. Because I think if you're true to yourself and your true feelings, your true emotions, your true creativity will come out.
Man, Rodney, thank you so much. We're going to have to do this again real soon.
Oh, man, I'd love to.
Yeah, we have to do this again real soon. I appreciate you so much.
I appreciate you, man.
And may God continue to bless you, man. And we'll be talking real soon.
Thank you, my brother.
All right, have a good one now.
All right, peace out.
All right.